Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah,
say goodbye to the concert experience as we know it. This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. Maybe you didn't get the invitation, but the world's dominant ticket seller and the top concert promoter got hitched this week. The groom is Ticketmaster, which sells more than 140 million tickets worldwide each year. And the bride is Live Nation, the largest artist management company in the globe. They represent big stars like Jay-Z here. And they own or run 135 major concert venues around the world. The new family name is Live Nation Entertainment, Inc. So, do we pop open the champagne or cry in our beer? Here with the answer is Ben Cesario, music reporter for the New York Times. Hi, Ben.
Hello, John.
So, is this good news or bad for music consumers, for music fans?
Well, the jury is really out on this throughout the music industry. Nobody really knows what's going to happen exactly, and nobody knows what kind of effect it's going to have on artists. And what effect it might have on consumers. There are plenty of people who see this as a kind of Death Star scenario, that there will be this giant company that's going to have the power to promote its artists and its interests, all the way at the expense of every other artist and possibly at the expense of the fans. But there are actually plenty of people in the music industry who kind of shrug and say, you know, we already have, you know, huge companies doing things. It might not really change that much.
Well, and the Department of Justice has sort of attached a number of conditions to the merger, and they claim that because of those conditions, it won't harm consumers and might actually benefit them. How would that work?
Well, the way that Live Nation and Ticketmaster sold this originally to the government was, and to their shareholders, was that, you know, they'd be able to sort of just reduce redundancies the way that most mergers do, and that would bring down their costs, and as a result, they would be able to charge less. A lot of people kind of laughed at that. In fact, the senators at the Judiciary Committee hearing where the heads of those companies testified last year, you kind of laughed at that. I mean, they didn't really believe that fees would come down. And as I said, I mean, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen, but that part of their argument doesn't seem to be winning a lot of fans. The complicated thing is that it's not quite as simple as people might realize how ticket prices are set and how all those fees end up being what they are. There are a lot of different interests at play. And in fact, you know, people who you might think are the, you know, are the fans' advocates might not be.
So who is setting the ticket prices?
Well, the ticket price, the artists have a lot to do with the setting of the ticket price, because the way that, especially with bigger tours, the way that works is that the artists and the managers and the booking agents sort of come up and say, okay, we have, you know, U2 or whoever who's going to tour, and we want this certain guarantee, a guaranteed fee for every show, and it's usually, you know, in the millions. And the idea being that if one promoter can't meet that, then another one will, and there will be bidding. Especially for the top acts, the bidding is very intense. So, the artists are, to a certain extent, able to dictate what they want paid.
So it's not Ticketmaster that's setting the price.
In fact, traditionally, I mean, Ticketmaster has been called Switzerland, you know, that they don't have anything to do with who sets the price and, you know, how the promoter and the artist divide the profits, et cetera. I mean, their job was just to sell the ticket. The strange thing is that, you know, what people might not know is that in the recent years, Ticketmaster has expanded a lot, and it's done a lot more than just sell a ticket. It's actually now in the artist management business.
Well, it certainly is now after this merger with Live Nation. We're speaking with Ben Cesario, music reporter for the New York Times. The merger of Ticketmaster and Live Nation has been approved by the DOJ, the Department of Justice. Ben, is there an analogy to be made here? I mean, people are really concerned about, you know, antitrust, monopoly, lack of competition, all pushing up ticket prices. Is there an analogy here to what's happening in the world of sports? I was struck this past season, even with the Yankees winning the World Series, how many games you saw on TV where that swath of really, really expensive seats behind home plate was empty. Is the music business now going down that same route?
It might be. They're very different businesses, and it's hard to draw a direct parallel because part of what happens with sports teams and the way the economics of ticketing works for sports is that it's, you know, very heavily invested in season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what drives the whole thing. So all those empty seats that you saw behind home plate at Yankee Stadium, you know, the Yankees decided that they would charge a really high price for season tickets for those seats, and nobody was willing to pay it. There aren't really season tickets when it comes to things like concerts. There's a little asterisk next to that. You know, there kind of are, but not really. And in general, you know, one concert is a lot different from another. You're in a different city. There's a different audience. You play once, and then you go to the next town. You might not be back for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of difference between, you know, a band touring and a sports team playing 130 games in a summer, you know?
Right. What about, and this seems to be the big new thing in ticket sales, online sales, ticket sales services, especially secondary sellers, what we used to call scalpers. how does that play out in this scenario with the merger?
That's a big, big question mark. That I know that the brokers, or scalpers as they're sometimes called, are very concerned about that. They're not the only people, though, because Ticketmaster has gotten into the scalping world itself, partly in an effort to drive those people out of business. But then there's the idea of just simply, if you buy a ticket to the concert and then you get sick, or you're working late, are you going to be able to get rid of your ticket on Craigslist? Because technically you're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're reselling your ticket. That's a pretty big question mark. I mean, my guess is that Live Nation and Ticketmaster are going to want to drive scalpers out of business because they really hate that business, because they want to be able to keep all of the money from the sale of a ticket for themselves and for artists.
Well, as you mentioned, Ben, you know, Ticketmaster already has gotten into the secondary market with their controversial site, Ticket Now. That's basically what it is, right? Is an attempt to...
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of controversy about that. And in fact, Irving Azoff, who's the guy who's been head of Ticketmaster, and he's one of the heads of the new company, has said that it was bought before he took over the company. And if he had a hand in it, he wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it's a big question about what this will do to scalpers that, you know, anybody knows.
So we'll have to see how it plays out. But, you know, Bruce Springsteen was not a happy camper when a number of his fans last year were directed to the secondary, the scalping service, Ticket Now, to get tickets to his concert. And we've been speaking with Ben Cesario, music reporter for the New York Times, about the potential fallout of this big merger between Ticketmaster, the big ticket seller, and Live Nation, the big concert artist and management company. Ben, nice talking to you again.
Thanks, John.
Making his way down the street. If you've ever seen a one-legged dog, then you've seen me.
Still to come, the conductor and musicologist Leon Botstein joins us to shed some light on the pioneering work of American composer Henry Cowell. That's next on Soundcheck.
Leave with less than I had before. And you've seen me, but I can make you smile when the blood it hits the floor.